Welcome to Insights for Manufacturing, the podcast that supports the UK manufacturing sector. Hosted by Jeff Beecham, the manufacturer's recruiter. Hello and welcome to Insights for Manufacturing. We've got another episode today and I'm delighted to welcome my guest, Dan Barker, who is the director at Dan Barker Studios. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Hey, Jeff. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. Yeah, we've known each other, I think, a couple of years. I think we might have met at one of the exhibitions at the NEC, and I've been familiar with your work, both on LinkedIn and your YouTube stuff. And I'll get this in now. We've got a book, Video Content Goldmine, which you kindly sent me, which I'm frantically trying to complete whilst juggling my day job. So, I mean, video content, UK manufacturing is one of your biggest areas, isn't it? That's predominantly your sort of customer arena. I love what you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
And I think in this day and age, you know, you've got to be in it to win it. You've got to be visible. So let's just kick off the conversation. You know, I'm intrigued. What key elements should manufacturing companies be focusing on then when they're looking to, you know, develop a video content strategy in the first place?
Well, there's a few things, really. I mean, first of all, I think as manufacturers, a lot of manufacturers are pretty behind the curve when it comes to video content. I mean, I'm sure you go on a lot of manufacturers' websites, as I do, and kind of see what's there and what people are doing, and you think, yeah, come on, we've got to catch up a little bit. So
yeah,
I'm not quite sure why that is. I think maybe, I mean, I used to be in engineering. I used to be in aerospace engineering, so that's why the niche into manufacturing.
Yeah,
and I was one of those engineers that sort of thought the marketing department was, you know, the sort of fluffy bit over there that we didn't really need, you know. And now, as someone that runs their own business, I realize that it's all marketing,
yeah,
basically. Yeah. You know, as we were just talking about, it's you know, it's super important. And you know, I put this in the book. Someone described the marketing as, you know, if you imagine your business as a cylinder, a lot of people see marketing as like a little disc that goes on top, and when other stuff gets more important, that disc sort of falls off and gets forgotten about. But what he was saying is that it actually should be a rod that runs all the way through that cylinder, and everyone's involved in it in some way. And so on. So I think there's probably an element of that in engineering, manufacturing, like I used to be, thinking of that stuff in that way, that it's not that important. And, you know, the real work's the engineering and everything. But of course, you know, as we know, without the marketing, there's no engineering work to do. So
yeah,
I think that's kind of the first thing is to maybe kind of get up to speed a little bit with, you know, what other people are doing. And when you look at some of the people who are leading the way, you look at their video content and you go, wow, that looks super cool. You know, that looks amazing. And it makes them look brilliant. Now, the thing with that and the kind of trick of that a little bit is that some of these companies, you know, you might go and visit them as we have sometimes and find they're just in a little unit somewhere in the back end of an industrial estate, but they've got amazing videos and they're making themselves look bigger and better and shinier than you might think if you just went to visit them. And, you know, quite rightly so, because they're producing amazing products as well. But then on the flip side of that, we have plenty of companies out there that produce amazing products and have incredible capacity, but you wouldn't know it from their online presence at all. So I'm slightly going round a curve a little bit with this, but just wanted to get a bit of background into it, really. To sort of say that there's so much opportunity there. And when it comes to the strategy, like if you're not doing anything at all, then, you know, making a start is the strategy, and doing something, because you've got so much opportunity. And that's what led to the book, really, was we'd hear from manufacturers and they'd say, oh, we don't know really what we could film, you know, there's not much going on here. And you walk in and you're like blown away by what they're doing. But the thing is that they're used to it. They're seeing it every day. They always, you know, it's just become their normal. And maybe they've been seeing it for the last 10, 20, 30 years or something. You know, yeah, they're seeing it as normal. But when you go in and you see it for the first time, you're blown away by what's going on there. And if they actually just showed some of that to start with, they're going to make huge inroads in on their marketing if they implement video to demonstrate a bit of that, their capacity and everything. Then I think the so you've got your kind of product videos and your company video talking about, you know, what you stand for and why you're there and who started it and all that good stuff. Your product videos to talk about and show the products and, you know, all the features, benefits, and more importantly, how they solve, you know, your customers' problems.
Yeah, the applications.
Yeah, exactly. Things like testimonial videos as well, really powerful. So, you know, go and interview one of your customers about what it's been like to work with you. I mean, this goes for any business, really. You know, you could go and do this tomorrow as well for your business. Get some testimonials, super powerful. And then I think the next thing, you know, once you've kind of got that in place, you could start to look at, you know, building up, positioning yourself as experts in what you do. So a little bit more of that kind of thought leadership type stuff, you know, and actually getting up there on camera and talking about things a bit more and your ideas and, you know, so there's different levels that you could go to, and it ranges from we just need to get someone out with a phone to shoot some video, which is better than nothing, right the way up to, you know, bring in a production company and produce some beautiful looking videos.
So there's a hell of a lot to consider, isn't there? You know, it's how big do you want to go? What's your budget? What are you trying to achieve? Where do you start? And just going back to something we were talking about at the start of this discussion about, manufacturers. I mean, manufacturers are great at making stuff, aren't they? You know, the engineering piece is always innovative. You know, all that agility and passion and creativity. Tenacity to bring, products to market that people and other businesses need. Manufacturing businesses are great at that. They're not always great at sort of shouting about themselves. And I think I've heard this expression before. You know, creating a culture of marketing, or creating a marketing culture where everybody in the business sees themselves as somebody that can market the business, and everything that you do in the business could be used or could be a sort of a bridge to a piece of content, and it's just, I think companies just getting a little bit more into that mindset of what the possibilities are, really.
Absolutely.
Okay, so how would you advise sort of manufacturers to perhaps investigate the notion of storytelling, to complement what they're trying to do with their marketing? Because manufacturing and engineering is typically perceived as, it's very technical, it's complex. And as a guy in America, I did a sort of short course a couple of years ago online and got a couple of his books. A guy called Donald Miller, he does the Business Made Simple sort of range of books, and he is huge on storytelling. And I was fascinated by this, but sometimes it's, if a business hasn't come across this approach, it's just more of a blatant, like, here are our products, they do this, or we're good at that. How would you sort of, sort of put that into a sort of strategy or a piece of advice for a manufacturing business to, integrate storytelling?
I think for me, the first thing is that I think this notion of storytelling can be a little bit intimidating. I think, you know, if it's not something you've done before, or if it's not something you've come across, you feel like you have to be, you know, a wonderful storyteller. You know, you have to be able to sit down and tell a compelling story that, you know, everyone will gather around and listen. And, you know, I'm not really one of those people, I don't think. So I used to find that a little bit intimidating, that notion of storytelling. But then what I sort of came to realize, I think, is that that's not everything that storytelling is. Storytelling can be a lot simpler than that, and just actually putting a little bit of story around something that you're doing that day is storytelling. Like giving a little bit more context and just talking about, I'm just trying to think of a good example, but I guess If we just go to another way, actually, there's story in everything that you do as well. That's the second thing to remember, is that, everyone has a story, right? We all have a story, whatever it is. You have a story. Every business has a story as well. Why that business was started, how it was started, and everything. And people love to hear that stuff. So first of all, storytelling isn't an intimidating thing. Secondly, we've all got stories and people want to hear them. So regardless of how well they're told or otherwise, you can tell a bit of a story about, even start with how the business got started and ask yourself, why did the business get started? What problem was it solving? What were the founders trying to do? What's their story? There's always something interesting there at the beginning that you can talk about. So don't be afraid to talk about that, and do realize its power. We're a company that I won't name any companies or anything, we were talking to, and they wanted to do this video to celebrate a milestone in their business, and which we did. But while we were talking about it, we found out about their origin story, and we were just like, wow, if you would just tell this origin story, like, as a national. Almost, yeah, na almost national company. And I was kind of like, I would have signed up with your service like way before I did, if I'd have known that that was your origin story. But they'd taken this other approach to it, and it was, to me, it wasn't quite as compelling. But knowing how they got started and why they got started, it makes you feel some empathy with them. And it's so powerful. So I think you can just, ask yourself how we do things, what we do, why we do them. Why is always a good question to ask. Why do we do something that way? What was it like in my first week when I started here? Why did I join this company? Another example, I was talking to someone the other week in a workshop actually that I was running, and I was saying, so, why did you join the company? She was like, well, I just needed a new job. There's nothing really to it. And I was like, okay, so, but why did you join that particular company? And she said, well, they had a really good reputation for, looking after their people and everything. I was like, okay, that's a story. There you go. You've got something there. That's a story you can tell. This, so you're telling your story about joining the company, but you're weaving into it the fact that it's a great company to work with and everything. So do you see what I mean? There's sort of, there's so much you can bring into it. And I don't know if that answers your question,
It
but
does. And the other thing it sort of crystallized in my mind was the opportunities for, I mean, you spoke earlier on about not just businesses talking about their products and what they do, but the different applications for their products. And then I thought, well, yeah, the bit of storytelling, you could take that one step further and then talk about the actual impact that product in that application had for the customer, what they were using it for, whether it was a business, I don't know, making medical devices, the actual end of the impact line, if you like, is the human being had a medical device that either saved their life or improved the quality of their life dramatically, or meant that they, needed one operation, but then that was problem solved. Could be anything. Could be, stopping airplanes dropping out of the sky, or, enabling us to just have a more comfortable life. There's always, like you say, the why. Why are you making that product? Why does that customer need that product? What's the impact? What difference is it making to people's
And
lives?
that's really the key thing, is to look at what problems you're solving for people. So, as a as in your own line of work, you're solving problems for people, and people have a pain. Sometimes I think that's a bit of an extreme terminology for it, but they have a pain, something they need to do, and you need to look at what the problem is that you're solving for them. So it's no good taking your product, if that's a machine tool or something, for example, and saying it does this, it does that, it has these features. That's all fine, but you're leaving me to make the jump from that feature to that will solve that problem. You know what I mean? So if you can make that jump for people, then you're going to make much more compelling, useful, effective content.
Yeah,
So get a
absolutely.
bit deeper with it, and figure out the problems that you're solving for people,
Yeah.
and your content will jump out a bit more.
Yeah. So I'm intrigued. You're running a video production company. You know, your customers are in a space that I love. It's been my backyard for over 25 years, manufacturing in the UK. So when you get asked to go into a manufacturing business, Dan, you know, businesses will probably give you a bit of an idea as to what they're trying to do or what they'd like to do. And you know, you will take a brief from them. How do you sort of ensure that you transition the manufacturing customer's vision effectively into the final video product? Because it's, you know, everything that I've read in your book so far, and I've watched a number of your YouTube videos, everything that you say, everything I've seen to date makes perfect sense. I understand it, I get it, I agree with it. But actually, then there's the proof's in the pudding, right? So you've got to then get that translation of what the client wants or what they need, or both of those things, ideally. How do you actually make sure that that comes out in the final product? Because it's not as easy as you know. A lot of people say, "Well, you know, Dan's been doing this video marketing for years. You know, he knows what he's doing. It's going to be great, isn't it?" But then they don't see what goes on behind the scenes. You know, there's a lot more to than just setting up a camera and some lights and sound, you know, audio equipment. There's a lot of planning and structure and creativity that goes on. So can you sort of join that up for me?
Yeah, sure. So I think that vision that you spoke of, the client's vision, that's the bit really, because their vision is what they're trying to solve. Coming back to the problem again, you know, our clients have a problem, which is usually, you know, they want to create more leads, or you know, be seen more so that they create more leads or be seen as the experts. So their vision is to have a video that does that work for them, right? So the first questions then we need to find out, or we need to ask, are, you know, what are they trying to do? What are they trying to achieve with the video? And things like, where is the video going to be used, and how are they planning on using it and everything? And sometimes they haven't really thought about that, and they don't know how it's going to be used. So, you know, it's a really useful question to ask, because we don't want to create videos for people that just want our video creating so that they've got a video that they're just gonna that's just gonna sit there, you know, because it's worth nothing to them. So we've got to make sure that, you know, they know what they're going to do with it at the end, and then that can help to inform how we're going to craft the video then as well. So, you know, for example, if it's going to be used on social media, then it's probably going to be a quick sort of, you know, fast-paced, bam, bam, bam kind of video that's going to, you know, get people's attention quickly. If it's going to be a company video that's going to sit on their website, so people have gone through maybe the social media or however they've come to that company, and then they've landed on the homepage of their website, and they're going to sit down, they're going to watch this video, they're about to invest, you know, six figures or something into some machinery, they're going to be happy to sit there and watch a 3-minute video. So then after that, then it's sort of going into their customers' problems and looking at, you know, what's important to their customers. So again, if it's a machine or something, you know, it'll have some features, but why are those features important to their customers? And really trying to understand that side of things, because well, this is kind of why I got into, you know, niching into manufacturing in the first place and industrial. I put a post on LinkedIn years ago, when I was mostly doing photography, and I was saying, I said, what problems have you had when commissioning photographer? And someone who I didn't know at all at the time, who I now know really well, randomly replied saying that they were having problems at that time with the photographer, because they were getting an engineering application photographed, but the photographs weren't really showing the right things, because he didn't get the product, he didn't understand it. So we try and get in and really understand the product. I suppose I've got a bit of a head start in terms of my background and everything, but the guys now, you know, my team, are really into the products that we shoot as well, and they want to understand it all. And I encourage them always to just keep asking questions. If you don't understand something, just keep asking questions. Make sure you have a full understanding of how that thing works, and what the advantages are to the customer. what problems we're solving,
Yeah.
so that when we're getting in filming, they're actually picking up the right things. So, it might have a beautiful casing, beautifully machined casing, and it all looks really, really cool. And one company might come in and film the outside of it, but that's of no interest to the people who are potentially going to buy that machine. They want to see, the guts of it and,
Yes, that's right. What's going on inside?
what's the important feature about that? And again, it might do 10 different processes, but what's the one that's really that really is important to the customer?
Yeah. So in a way, I'm not. I don't take very many photos. Well, I suppose I do on my smartphone when I'm out and about. But I haven't studied photography or videography. I would be an absolute novice at best. But for me, looking at this scenario as an outsider looking in, when you go into a manufacturing business, it's almost like you have to, excuse the pun, but sort of like re-engineer what they're doing. So if it's a machine tool, it's not working well, let's break it down. So you see you see it sat there, okay, but it can be shown in so many different lights. What's going on inside? Where are the moving parts? Where's the controls? There's so much that goes into any sort of manufacturing plant and equipment. And I'm just thinking, a sort of standard commercial photographer, okay, they'd be able to take a nice picture. Obviously, they know how to use a camera and lighting and stuff like that. But it is horses for courses, isn't it? And I think the beauty of you having set up Dan Barker Studios, focusing on manufacturing, is indeed your engineering background. I think you've got a little bit more than a head start, actually. You're going to be talking the same language as your clients, right? You're going to understand them. And I think that would probably help as well, wouldn't it? Even when it's down to sort of taking the brief from a client, because they will sort of hopefully know and trust you a bit more given your background. You're sort of almost one of them, aren't you?
Yeah, and when I first sort of decided on the niche and started focusing on that, I remember very clearly I went into this company years ago to do a photography job, and I was chatting to the guy. I think he was, I don't know if he was, I don't think he was the MD, he was head of production or something in that. And he was chatting to me, and he was kind of talking to me in a, slightly funny way. And then I dropped in, I used to be in aerospace engineering and study mechanical engineering, and it was like a light switch. Like, he just changed the way he talked to me completely, because suddenly he didn't think I was some, crazy creative that couldn't possibly understand anything. He was like talking to me, like you say, like I was one of him. So that's when I knew, right, there's something in this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, it gives people comfort, doesn't it, to know that as well. I mean, we were just on a call earlier, with a prospective client, and when I dropped that in, they were like, "Oh, right, cool, okay, you get this. We're manufacturing. You're going to understand what we're doing." And yeah, it does give you a bit of an edge. And but everyone's got an edge as well. Like, there are some people who have past chefing experience who are amazing food photographers, and some who have a past experience in, I don't know, horses or something, who'd be amazing equine photographers. Everyone's got that kind of unfair advantage. So
But yours is certainly fit for purpose in this environment. We're talking about manufacturing, so brilliant. Love that. So Dan, employee engagement, clearly, my day job is an executive recruiter, so I'm always talking about people related strategy, HR stuff, recruitment, leadership. So employee engagement is something that is a constant challenge for businesses. Identifying, attracting, hiring people in the first place is always blimmin' tough. That's why there's people like me around. But then keeping hold of people, particularly in today's weird and wonderful world that we live in, it is sometimes hard to keep people motivated, engaged, and re retain people. So how can, given the sort of skills shortages in the first place, that's a huge problem at the moment, as within manufacturing. How can manufacturing businesses use video to boost employee engagement, and have you found any specific types of, internal videos that have been, more effective than others for that?
Well, what I would say is don't underestimate the marketing videos as a tool for keeping people engaged because, yeah, we could talk about, internal videos. And to be honest, I don't think we've ever done a kind of internal comms video like that. But
Okay.
a lot of the feedback that we get on our videos is, wow, the product looks better than it does in real life. It looks amazing. This, you've made it look absolutely amazing. I mean, someone, the owner of a company that we did a video for recently, actually was in tears when he saw the video that we'd made for him. So, I think if you're making like a product video, or any kind of video, a company video, whatever it is, and you're making the things that the guys and girls are making look incredible, they're going to be feeling pretty proud of what they're doing. So
Yes.
I think for me, you shouldn't underestimate the power of that. And when people, in fact, we had it recently with another company. I won't mention their name at this stage, but they said that when they first started working there, they'd tell people they're working at this amazing company that made these amazing products, and then they'd show them their YouTube channel, and they were just like, but well, it doesn't look that great, and feeling a bit sort of
Yeah. It's a bit underwhelmed.
yeah, like that about it. Yeah, so I think if if you have a great, you have a great website, you have great videos that look amazing, people on the shop floor are going to be like, yeah, this is going towards making these amazing products that look incredible in those videos that we've seen.
Yeah, I think that's something that I'm just that the word pride just flashed into my head then, people being proud of what they do in their day job, proud of sometimes the brand. I mean, I'm not a huge lover of brand for the sake of brand. Some things I might buy because it's a brand. That's mainly guitar strings and guitars and things. But outside of that, it's the, is what I want to buy, is it fit for purpose? Is it at the right price? Am I, is it quality? Is it the right thing? But some people, particularly with a lot of the bigger, the global businesses, a lot of people sort of get off on that, don't they? It means so much to them that they work for such a big brand. But then a lot of smaller businesses, you haven't got that brand impact. There isn't necessarily that sort of status, because let's face it, we're all human beings, and a lot of people in their own little social circles. Oh, I work for PepsiCo, or I work for, Airbus, or whoever it might be. When you're working for, let's say an SME manufacturing business, that anybody outside of the little manufacturing community around what they do probably hasn't heard of them. It's difficult for people to then get into that marketing mindset to promote their own business through that. Well, crikey, have you heard of what we do at our company? You wouldn't believe it. We do this and we do that. And I think, as you say, when you've got the marketing videos and of products or products being made, and maybe you can get, the sort of factory operatives involved in that as well. I think that would help keep people bought in to what they do and why they're there in the first place. Because a lot of SMEs, it's tough, and they haven't got the big budgets of the big companies. And some of them, maybe haven't got the best websites, but they make bloody good products. And I think with the, with a little bit of additional, creativity around video marketing, maybe even their employees would feel a little bit more bought into the, we're really doing something worthwhile here. The products are making a difference for this bunch of people that are using the products. And what you can't see, you can't think about, can you? So if you've got really, really super cool video that you can, share with the outside world, but also with your employees, it's got to be a great thing, hasn't it?
I think there's that, like saying, yeah, they've got a video of what they're making and what they're involved with, and it looks super cool, and yeah, raises that pride level.
Yeah.
But also the other thing you can do, is interview staff members for
Yes.
videos and things like that, and that really makes people feel part of the company and feel valued and everything. We've done some lovely videos with employees, and when you start getting them talking, you realize that they're really into this thing. You
Yeah.
know, they might not say that to start with because they're, you know, a bit shy or whatever, but you get into it and they're like, yeah, there's some real pride there in what they
Yeah.
do. And
Yeah.
you know, and to show them that you value them by putting them on a video is quite powerful, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's twofold, isn't it? 'Cause you know, that video could attract or secure new talent. And then, as you
Yeah.
say, you know, it's not every day of the week people in a business get the opportunity to be filmed and have their sort of moment of stardom, if you like, on the internal video. You know, that can mean a
Yeah,
lot to some.
I've been asked for, you know, can I send you the behind the scenes photos of when we were doing the interview so I can send it to my wife and, you know, show her I'm a star kind of thing, you know.
That's
And I
nice.
know it sounds, you know, it sounds a bit like, you know, a little thing, but it's quite a big thing for
Yeah.
that person, I think, to be asked to go on there
Yeah,
and do that.
absolutely.
And I mean, I suppose the other angle you could come from with this, because I'm quite keen at the moment on people putting a face to a business as well, and you know, sort of
Yeah.
personal brand, and you
Yeah.
know, I guess what you're doing here and what I'm doing with my YouTube channel and everything as well. I think there's a opportunity for manufacturers to be doing that as well, and you
Yeah.
know, getting these people who are running the companies to come on video and talk about what they know about and their expertise and everything. I think that could have a very similar effect, you know, when the employees see that video to go, oh, look, my, you know, guy that runs the company I work for, he knows his stuff, you know, here he is talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's another opportunity. And then yeah, on the other side of that, like you mentioned recruitment and everything, I guess, you know, talking about recruitment, we've only done one recruitment video over the years, but it was an excellent one, if I say so myself. But what we did with that, we took a little bit of a sort of behind the scenes approach with it. So there's different ways
Okay.
you can film things. You know, you can
Yep.
film like the sort of highly polished video with a, you know, lovely interview and the lighting and blah blah blah. What we did with this, we did that, but we also filmed a bit behind the scenes of while we were doing it, so it had a bit more personality in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had the owner, you know, just as we put the clapperboard on, he made a funny comment about it. And there was another point where someone walked past. We didn't stage this, actually. It was brilliant. But someone walked past in the background and knocked over a plant. And we all just started cracking up
Yeah.
because during an interview. And so we left that in, you know, things like that. And apparently this video did a really good job for them. They're a software company
Yeah.
and struggling to recruit people. And apparently it went down really well.
There you go. Bit of humor. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm always a strong advocate for having a bit of a, you know, bit of a laugh and a joke where it's appropriate, obviously. But yeah, that
Yeah.
sort of light-hearted blooper, if you like. Yeah, it shows a bit of character, a bit about the culture, personalities, and yeah, it's
Yeah,
all great.
exactly. Exactly.
Okay, so the word digital is bandied around all the time these days, usually for the right reasons. But in the sort of broader context of digital marketing strategy, and we're talking about manufacturing businesses, how important is video content across the board, and what role do you think it plays mainly in things like lead generation and customer retention? Because attracting customers, keeping them, and being able to engage with them or get them contacting or reaching out to your business is something that every business cries out for, you know. So I know you're a video production company. Yes, you're going to say yes, it's right up there. It's got to be a priority, but you
I
know,
wouldn't bother with
it's
it.
but you know, I don't think it'd take a genius to work out that, you know, having a bit of personality, it's a 3D thing. It's not just in the old days we'd have flyers or, you know, then we had websites, but an actual video, it's almost, you can't reach out and touch it, but it's the next best thing, isn't it? It's almost like a living, breathing
Yeah.
experience, isn't it? So where would you put that in the level of importance for from a sales and business development perspective? You know, if businesses are looking to grow or they're struggling and they need to turn the business round, how do you underline the importance of video content?
Well, I think A lot of the time, you've just got to think about your own experiences of buying something. I mean, I bought a new beard trimmer the other week
Okay.
when mine broke,
Yeah.
and I was on Amazon and I looked at all the pictures and everything, and then I watched the video,
Right.
to see it, like you say, to see it in 3D, to see it
Yeah.
working and everything. And, did I glean that much more information than I had done from everything? Maybe not, but it pushed me over the line for that one
Yeah.
because I could see
Yeah.
it. And the point I'm getting at is that people expect video, I think now. We've got to that point. I don't think there's any other way of saying it.
Yeah.
You expect to see a video about a product that you're going to buy, and if I expect to see it about a £60 beard trimmer, then I think people expect to see it if they're about to drop £500,000 on a machine tool or something,
Absolutely. Yeah.
and like you say, it brings it to life. It shows features that you can't really see in a photo. I mean, that said, I think photos still have their place, and I think they're still very important because you can just focus in on that one thing and freeze it, and people can look at that for as long as they like, which,
Yes. Yeah.
is something that you don't get with video. So I think photos still have a very important role to play and should be there as well as the video.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I think you nailed it really when you said it brings it to life, it gives it that 3D. But yes, the next thing is people expect it. And you can show more personality. I mean, you can show personality in copywriting as well. Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
And I think, copywriting is the other aspect, which is incredibly important in your marketing as well. But with video, I can get up there and say something that the MD of the company can get up there and talk in front of the camera for a bit, and you're really seeing something then, aren't you? You're really seeing who this person is.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
at the end of the day, we all, we buy from people, don't we? You're saying about brands, but I do believe that people and seeing a face is more important than any brand, and all the most successful brands do put faces to their brands. Even what might be seem like a faceless brand like Nike, for example, or Nike for everyone listening in America, is they put people, they sponsor, Michael Jordan and whichever other athletes to be the face of the company.
Yeah.
So I think if you're on a budget and you want to get started with something, set up a nice space somewhere, stick your phone, in front of a window where you've got nice light, and get a half decent microphone so it can
Yep.
sound good, and just start talking to the camera and talk about what you do and give some insights and put a bit of a face to the company. And I think that could have a huge impact over, almost overnight.
Yeah, absolutely. You spoke earlier about the power of videos for things like testimonials, and absolutely, yeah, there's a great opportunity there for any type of business to get those sort of customer testimonials. There's also, I was thinking of particularly in manufacturing, sort of training and safety videos. How can a a well-produced video enhance those critical aspects of a business then? Because it's no company wants to be sending their employees home injured or worse, God forbid. But do you see a sort of rise in the demand for video for things like training? I've just picked health and safety for a discipline, but do you think there's a, is that a big growth area that manufacturing businesses can sort of benefit from?
It's not something we've seen personally, so I'm not going to sort of pretend that we've done a load of, training and health and safety videos and everything, but I
Okay.
do feel like we probably should have done because
There you go. You heard it here first.
the reason I say that is that, well, you come from a manufacturing background. How many times have you sat down when you've gone into a company or something, when maybe you've started there or you're a visitor or something, and they've shown you the health and safety video, and you're just like, you're not really taking it in. It's a
Yeah.
bit boring. And I
Yeah.
think it was it Virgin America, I think, that did the first sort of funny safety video on board an airplane. And then the others started copying them. But they did something that was really engaging, and as a result, people actually watched it and listened
Right.
to it. So yeah, the point I'm getting to is that you can use video if you've got some training that you've got to provide to people, then why not make a really engaging, interesting video about it that people are actually going to want to watch rather than a dull, boring thing with some very boring text graphics and very slow moving footage that you've been showing the same one since the 70s. So I think there is an opportunity there to use video, because yeah, we use it in marketing because it's captivating and it's inspiring and all of these good things. So yeah, why not use it when you're doing some training? It would make everyone's experience much better, and it would help them retain the information a lot better as well.
That's the kicker, isn't it? Retaining
Yeah.
what they've watched.
Yeah,
Okay,
yeah.
and what about sustainability then? Because I mean, that's again, along with the words digital, sustainability, net zero, crikey, you can't get away from it. It's such a biggie. How can manufacturing companies use video in, telling their sustainability story or highlighting their environmental initiatives?
Well, in the same way as telling a story about anything else in the company, really. I mean, they could weave it into their main company brand video. We've done that before, so just tell that story in there. You might have a separate video on your, if you've got a sustainability page or something on your website, where you're just telling that story. So yeah, it's the same principles, really. Yeah, have a video devoted to it. But I think, yeah, as with everything, make sure it's real and authentic, and we're not just sort of, shoehorning in some sustainability things to tick some boxes. Make sure it's actually genuinely something that you care about. And the most important thing, I suppose, as with anything we buy in our businesses, is make sure that you're going to get the return on investment. For it, if you think that that's an issue that your customers want to hear about and are going to resonate with, then yes, yeah, spend some money on making a really decent video about it. If it's kind of down there on the list, then maybe just write a blog post about it. And just being honest, you got to make sure that you're going to get some return on investment for these things. And I don't want to go into any company and make them a video just for the sake of making a video. Like I said earlier, it's got to do something for them, because otherwise, what am I doing?
I'd love your authenticity on that. That really strikes a chord with me. Okay, we're almost out of time, Dan. So I wanted to just wrap up really by one of the things that I've always enjoyed as a recruiter over 25 years is the opportunity to get out to manufacturing and engineering businesses and have a plant tour. Being sat in a boardroom, which I have to do from time to time, or Teams meetings, getting to know people, taking a brief is great, and you have to have those, high level discussions about what businesses are looking for in terms of their senior level recruitment. But to actually get out and have a look at what they do, what the overall business does, how are they doing it, what plant and equipment have they got? It's just, I've always said, I almost feel like Willy Wonka, or a kid in Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. Just astonishing. I don't know, I just feel excitement now just even talking about it, because I get that same feeling after all these years every time I visit a new factory that I haven't been to before, or go back and see one that I haven't been to for a number of years. I just love it. It's just, that's why I love going to the exhibitions as well. You can see, you can hear, you can smell, you can smell a bit of coolant, or you can smell the sort of electricity coming off a piece of plant. It's just fascinating. But there's over the last, I don't know, what, 15 years, virtual tours have just become the norm, haven't they? And these can be embedded into websites, or even on a sort of mail out, or a digital sort of mail out. You can send these sort of video clips. Now, I know you do some drone work as well, in terms of video. But for a manufacturing business, have you got any sort of, just a couple, if you like, a couple of tips for a business if they're looking at doing a virtual tour, whether that's mm-hmm. you know through a you know a proper business, proper video production company like yourselves, or they're doing a sort of short, you know, self-produced one. Have you mm-hmm. got a couple of basic tips for creating an engaging virtual tour? Just flying around and seeing something, that's great. But
yeah.
What adds that little bit of magic, do you think?
I reckon if they got you in to present the video and it was the first time you'd had a look round and you could bring that enthusiasm, that'd be fantastic. Dear. Yeah, no, I think one of the things I say to people is like, remember your first day when you started there. So like you going in for the first time, remember that first day and think about the things that you were interested in. And what you were amazed by, in the same way that you are and I am when we go and see places. Just go back to that mindset, because you might have been there 10, 20, 30 plus years.
Yeah.
And like I was saying before, it's become normal. You know, you see this stuff every day and you're like, oh, well, yeah, the robot arm's just doing that, you know.
Yeah.
But think about, yeah, when you came in to see that for the very first time and you were like, wow, that's amazing. And home in on those parts of the process. So I think that's the first thing. Like I was saying earlier, realize that what you do is interesting. And the other thing is think about what your visitors are interested in. So, you know, if you've been in to see someone recently, they could think, oh yeah, Jeff was like pointing that out and he was like, oh, that was amazing and everything like that. Think about what those things are and use those, because that, you know, all the insights that you need are there. You've just got to kind of uncover them. So, you know, have a bit of a brainstorm of that. Then in terms of the actual making of the video, I mean, there's different options for different budgets and things, I suppose. So you're right, like those drone tours are really cool and they can be done, you know, really well. There's that famous, I don't know if you've ever seen that bowling alley one that they did, an FPV one a few years ago.
No, I didn't.
And yeah, it was cool. They went into the bowling alley, but it's all really choreographed. So, you know, just as they're throwing the bowling ball, the drone sort of comes in behind them and follows it down there. And
right.
And that would have taken them probably, you know, a whole day to plan and choreograph and get that right and everything. So yeah, you can do cool stuff like that. You can also overlay graphics and, you know, 3D graphics and things like that. So whether it's a drone video or a video shot on foot, you can overlay graphics and things, so they might, you know, be appearing in three dimensions, so it makes it look like, you know, this sort of augmented reality type thing to make it a bit more engaging. We've used presenters not on have we used on factory tour? No, I don't think so. We've used presenters on product videos, so professional presenter, and I mean that's great because, you know, they are engaging the way they speak and everything. So you could look at having someone, you know, joking aside, having someone actually walking around and presenting and talking about the place as well.
Yeah.
But it's got to be edited in a, you know, a fast, you know, in a well done way. What's the word I'm looking for? It's got to be edited, you know, smoothly and not just be like, okay, now we're going to here and, you know, 5 minutes with walking down the corridors and things, you know.
Yeah.
It's got to look choppy and punchy.
Continuity, that's what I was
looking for. So you know, that's a way you can do it. Again, I like the idea of getting employees involved and that sort of thing as well. But yeah, it also comes back to what I said earlier about how is that video going to be used. So, you know, if it is just if it's a quick sort of social media thing, then yeah, the fly through thing is really cool.
Yeah,
you can get around the whole thing in not very much time. But again, even with those, I've seen them done where they're a bit slow, really.
Yeah.
Not to diss other people's work, but just they can be a bit slow as well. Even though it's cool, you're flying through the factory, it's like, let's fly through it in a cool way and make it a bit more punchy.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's planning, like you said earlier. You've got to plan these things out. The first 5 seconds of a video are absolutely crucial. You know, whether that's your YouTube video, whether that's this interview on YouTube, or it's your company brand video, or it's a product video, whatever it is, those first five seconds are crucial, and you've got, it's called the hook. You've got to hook people in.
grab their attention.
Stage.
Yeah.
Grab their attention. Yeah. I like to say earn their attention.
Even better.
You know, we attention is time, right? And we all have limited time. You've got to earn their attention. So you've got to give them something of value, or tell them that what you are going to be delivering has got some value. So I've gone off on a slight tangent, but to the factory tour, but I think all of these things are relevant to any video that you're creating, you know.
No, you've given that some really good context, and you know, thank you for joining me today, Dan. I mean, there's been so many little golden nuggets in there. Me for one, I'm going to have a great time listening back to this as Chris Beecham does the editing, and I'll be taking out some points myself to have a look at and compare to what I'm doing in my business. And it's been a great discussion. Thank you very much for joining me, Dan.
No worries. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for all your continued support on LinkedIn and everything.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate your comments and likes and everything. So.
You're very welcome. So thank you everybody for listening or watching, whichever way you're consuming this podcast. Look out for the next episode of Insights for Manufacturing, and see you next time. Bye-bye.